Alrighty, good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to call a meeting to order on August 13th from the Groveland Community Services District to start. I pledge allegiance to
the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, Janice, can you hear us okay? You're muted.
You're muted.
I got it. Thank you.
Hey.
Okay,
Hi.
go ahead and make your request now.
Okay. Approval for, let's see. I would like the board to approve me of attending remotely today due to circumstantial situation. I'm recuperating from surgery and walking around with a 10-pound oxygen tank maker, oxygen maker.
I will move that we approve Director Kwiatkowski attending remotely, pursuant to whatever that is.
And I second that motion.
Can I just add a comment?
Yes.
If you need to announce if or who is ever in the room with you.
Oh, yes, thank you. At the moment, there's no one in the room. Mike will be home shortly, and he is over 18. Okay. I'll announce it when he comes home. Okay, I'm in another room, but that's fine.
We technically need to tell, I think, what his relationship is.
Oh, he's my husband. Thank you.
Actually, if he's not in the same room with you, he could be in the same house if he's not.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. He's
all right, so we're good with that.
And
no,
then,
no, we need to take a motion, so go ahead.
And can I just make one more note that Janice, if you need to excuse yourself, or if we get disconnected or you get disconnected, then everything needs to be placed on hold until we accept.
Yes, and I will announce if I need to leave the room.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So,
perfect.
Yeah, we have but even after, during the action items, I confirmed with Josh this morning that we would just do all in favor.
Okay. All righty. So the motion was made to approve the Director Kwiatkowski to attend remote meeting remotely due to medical circumstances. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say nay.
Thank you.
All right. Let's take a roll call.
Director Mara.
I'm present.
Director Kwiatkowski.
Present.
Director
remotely.
Edwards. Director Swan.
Present.
Wonderful.
Maria, can we get a motion to approve the order of agenda?
So moved.
And seconded.
This is going to be the story for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any comments or public comment on the order of agenda?
I don't have any via email or in the message.
Okay.
But if you want to read your public comment,
a little story. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit. 10 minutes on any individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your comments.
So go ahead and we should vote on the order.
We did take a motion and a second, but if we didn't actually do the all in favor.
And you've already said there was no question, so any all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
I'm going to go back to public comments before we go into public comments and just let those know that are in the room. You can make public comment when we call for public comment because you're here. It's easy enough. But for those on the Zoom platform, you can use the raise your hand function and we'll recognize you when called by the president. You can also send an email to board@gcsd.org, and we will look for those to come in, to submit your comments that way, and we'll read them. Or you can actually put a message into the chat, and we will look for that to come in as well. That chat function is on the Zoom platform in your bar, I believe, on the bottom. So those are three ways that you can submit comments on each item that's on the agenda.
Right. That said, we will move on to our information items, starting with the staff reports. And kicking this off is our fabulous fire department.
Hello, Travis Chung, fire captain from the Grove Fire Station. This is our staff report for the month of July 2024. Starting off with operations, on July 1st, we went to a vehicle accident in Pine Mountain Lake, where the vehicle was on its side, sort of very unstable. And luckily the patient only had minor injuries, but if you notice in the picture there, we're using our newer Paratec rescue struts, and that will come up later in my presentation here, but just have to note that those were used there. Then also on July 6th, we had a very similar vehicle accident on Priest Grade, again with minor injuries, vehicle on its side. And then in the month of July, on the state side, we're very busy, and the state rented engine 783 from GCSD, and it was then sent out of county, and on several incidents in and around the Tolman Calaveras unit. And then also our pickup truck, utility 786, is still being rented and is at the park fire up in Duke.
Golly.
And then all of our equipment is in service and available. As far as training, FAE Santiago Martinez attended Instructor 1 class, FAE Rex Du attended ICS 300, and FAE Rene Herrera attended his final JAP class, being Company Officer 2C. And we also did patient packaging with the motherload hand crew, high pick point rope anchor, and Narcan training, AED UBIS, ladders, structured fire evolutions, and vehicle accident rescue extrication equipment. There's some pictures from our rope rescue training with the motherload hand crew. They came to our fire station and did the training there. FAE Herrera and FAE Martinez both passed their first year JAC test. Also did their actual physical evolutions that are a part of that JAC testing. And then engine 781 and Tuolumne County engine 631 attended the CERT event in the month of July and discussed emergency evacuation procedures for wildfire situations. And our personnel also presented the CAL FIRE 4291 program about defensible space. Both GCSD Engine 781 and Tuolumne County Engine 631 attended the Pine Mountain Lake Fireworks Show on July 7th, as we do every year. And we, you know, strategically spread out and patrol the area, you know, during the fireworks and after the fireworks, just to make sure that there are no fires that have been started. We also attended the grand opening of the new Rivian charging station right here in the middle of town on Main Street, where we got a little tour of the building and the charging stations and shutoffs and things like that. And we have a pre-planned walkthrough that we're gonna do here in the future so we can update our pre-planned book for that new building. As far as call volume, we had 57 calls, which is exactly on trend for past years. Two of those calls were aid to Tuolumne County. And then finally, regarding that picture at the beginning, those Paratech rescue struts that we were using, we actually received an award from the company Paratech for the use of those struts on that call. And there's a little information about the call, details of the situation, and then we have the actual rescue award there on the last page. So that was pretty cool. To be acknowledged.
About a little bit of time, so I sent it in.
I awarded. So perfect. Cool. And they don't send awards to everyone. So they go through, you know, submissions and they pick certain ones that are noteworthy. So that was cool. And didn't make it into this report because it happened after the report was produced, but we also just found out that we received a grant award from the California Fire Foundation in the amount of $15,996. It's a no match grant, so we don't have to come up with anything. And this would be to purchase a automatic vehicle locator system, which is, we call it AVL, but we're probably one of the only fire engines in the county that doesn't have it. But it shows your location on the map on the screen to everyone else, and you can see where all the other fire engines are. So when you're responding to a call, it's very helpful, you know, to get an idea of where people are at, or if you're trying to find the call location down some random dirt road, you can actually see on the map where people are. You can get more real-time information. Pre-plans are available on there. All the dispatch information, like a list of all your resources that are assigned to your call. So it's very helpful, especially for us being kind of more remote and away from, you know, our second and third arriving fire engines. So that would be a cool addition to upgrade our equipment.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I guess that concludes my report, unless there's any questions.
So just the instructor one thing. So this is somebody that's being trained to be an instructor.
Yeah. Okay. So there's an instructor series. You go through the classes and then you can get certified as an instructor. And then you're able to teach, you know, certain classes that you're credentialed for. That's it. Yeah.
You get certified through the state?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember some of those things. Yeah. Well done. That's not an easy class.
Yeah. And they made it harder now. You have to take a test and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
To get the actual, you know, instructor cert. So
you got to give a class.
Yeah.
A good class. Yeah, for sure.
It's amazing to me with all the stuff that was going on. It seems like every time you opened up social media, there was another rolled over car or another accident or another. And then all this training going on and taking time to apply for a grant.
I know.
Very impressive.
Yeah. A lot packed into 1 month.
And the award. I mean,
Time
management is excellent.
Great.
And Travis, also, I wanted to thank you and have you thank your guys' crew that came out to the Rivian event. It was scorching hot that day. It was so awful. And we kept telling them, okay, you guys can be done. Like, you can leave. They're just like sweating. We're all sweating. And they were like, nope, we're good. We're going to stay. And they literally stayed the whole duration. And they were super interactive with everybody there with the Rivians and going around and checking out their vehicles and like trying to learn about the vehicle. So if there was an accident or a fire or something like that. So
yeah
just tell them I said thank you.
Very cool. I had a question. Rivian vehicles require a specialized charging station?
As I understand it, they have a different charging port than Tesla's, for example. And that kind of explains why they have their own charging station, literally half a block from the Tesla charging station.
Yeah.
So I believe that's why. I think Teslas can use an adapter to plug into the Rivian ones.
Okay.
However, if I understand it correctly, Rivian does not allow Teslas to charge at this station. It's literally for Rivians only. But that may change in the future, what I heard.
That's what they said in the grand opening, because Pete and I attended too. And...
Thank you.
Yeah.
I wanted to go out, but we were out of town. But it looks so fabulous.
Mm-hmm. It does.
I mean, you know, from this little square of nothing, I can't believe it. It fits in. It just looks great.
That used to be Burns Gas Station. He was a volunteer firefighter.
It's prettier than the abandoned gas station.
Yeah, yes. A little bit.
Well, and they took a lot of the original wooden things and repurposed it into the new building. So it's kind of cool.
You kind of have to do that these days.
Right? Yeah.
Well, I think that that's actually part of what Rivian is. A lot of their vehicles are repurposed products. Like in the vehicle.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And so that was really important to them. To
reconstruction stuff is the state is requiring a certain amount of recycling. They have a lot of charging stations throughout the country, but this is the first outpost in the country. Mm-hmm. Outpost being a little store, you know, where they sell their free munchies and cereal and different things for the kids happy and really nice part.
And they've got a beautiful little town to walk through too, you know.
And it's definitely being used. I mean, I'm not through town, you know, every single day, but like one of the days, not long after we got back, I come and there's three cars were charging, and a couple other times there's two, and yesterday there was another one in there. And then now I notice every Rivian vehicle that we see on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll be driving wheels like, oh, it's a Rivian in front of us. So, yeah.
Guilty.
It's pretty cool.
Travis, did you say that someone took a jetpack training?
No.
I'm sitting here thinking, okay, somebody's flying around the lake down there with a jetpack. Misunderstood. Well, that's too bad, because that would have been a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks for the report. Thanks for everything you do. What a month. The CERT report.
So just before the CERT report, I want to say the picture when you guys were in the park of the Rivian, I walked over to the Rivian place and there were two Rivian vehicles charging and five people in line to use the restroom. Those were people that were charging over at the Tesla charging station. And it's not going to be long, probably months, maybe a year or so, but the EU has already said all charging will be done with a universal charger. If you want to sell a product here in the European Union, you have to have a universal charger. Anyway, happy to report that with the efforts of Mr. Otley here, hold the applause, we've received a $1,600 grant during the firefighter rehab experience we had training with the help of our firefighters. We identified things that we needed to add to our ambulance for firefighter rehab. So we're in the process of procurement, and Rachel will be delighted to know she gets to go shopping.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So, we'll be basically, it's adding additional supplies. We were only able to do, for example, vital sign checking for two people at a time, and now we'll be able to do six at a time. So, and at the suggestion of the firefighters, we're planning late this year to have a drill that will be top to bottom firefighter rehab here. And I was talking with Dory Beats, our assistant director for OES, and she thought it was thrilled. She'd love to come and watch. So we'll put that in process. At the request of Captain Travis, later this year when there's not fires.
Thank you.
The team meeting for September 28th for CERT will feature the American Red Cross. They're coming to do a piece on heating and cooling centers and shelters. They're making a big effort to have a presence here in Groveland. We brought the 10 cots, staged 10 cots and 10 blankets and 10 kits for use in a warming cooling center shelter at the CERT location, the supplies location in the park. And they would like to stage a trailer that's the same size as your trailers and our trailer here at GCSD. So if that's going to be okay, I'll just tell them, okay, that'll hold 100 cots and 100. So that will be, doesn't have to be brought from Stockton in the case of a thing. So whatever you guys say about that. They also have signed MOUs with three different places to get supplies here in the case of a center or a shelter. First place we went was two guys. And Jimmy said, sure, whatever you want. And it was actually great. I found out something I never knew. He said, I can supply 50 pieces with no notice.
Wow.
That's what I said.
So pieces.
Local guys make mm-hmm. good. So our next two training meetings will be September 28th and October 26th. I'm hoping that on the 26th, we're able to set up training for a helicopter landing zone. So that's a plan.
Cool.
On Friday of this week with CHP and CSU to discuss the 49er Festival and all of the things that we need in place for traffic so that we won't do what we did last year with some hiccups. So, and I separately, because of involvement in another organization, met with the CHP commander, and she's completely in accord with all of it. She wanted to review what we were doing, so we had their blessing. We partnered with Pine Mountain Lake Safety Committee for the wildfire preparedness workshops that Travis mentioned on the 21st. There are about 30 people in attendance aside from us. It included fire, it included OES, it included animal control. People don't think about that, but animal control people can go through fire lines. So if you went off to do your shopping in Sonora, came back and there was a fire line, like for the Mock Fire, you can't get back here. You let animal control know, and they'll go in and feed your pets, or go in and get them and bring them out. There's a whole bunch of things. And the comment that Spencer said well a moment ago was exactly what people said. That, wow.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. So we're presenting a version on the 29th of this month, a small version for seniors at the Little House. And that one we don't need you guys because we're not talking 4291. But your guys did a good job. It was great. There were two of them in the back of the room and two in front, so we had a stereo version of 4291. And by the way, just as an aside, a personal note, you're mentioning stationing engines at different places for the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Foster City for a number of years, and Foster City had a very well attended, 10,000 people would come to their fireworks. And their fire department made a big mistake one time. They had everybody at the firehouse, and it was on the wrong side of the fireworks display.
Yeah.
And it was over, everybody was going home, somebody launched a bottle rocket, landed on top of the house, and it burned the ground before they were able to get over there. So
yeah,
good plan.
The traffic can be such a nightmare at the end of those shows, and if you don't have people spread out, it can be very hard to get to the other side of
people
town.
Whose house burned down returned a week later from a vacation in Europe.
Oh boy.
So Anyway, let's see. We will also be looking for grants for training. CERT is, there's enough people locally here, I think about 20 people, of which about 10 would probably follow through to attend the basic CERT training, which is a weekend long. It's a 4 hours Friday and then 8 hours on both Saturday and Sunday. And so we would bring instructors in from around the state that have done this on a regular basis. So we'd like to do that as soon as we can. We've got the support of OES and do that. It's just a matter of finding the right funding agency and so forth. Finally, the blue piece of paper in front of you is part of the Cal OES program focused on community resilience. And this will be held here on the 27th. It's a whole statewide program, and we're one of the places they're going to do this. It'll be at the Resilience Center. And it says 2 o'clock, and I'm negotiating with Dory to move the time earlier because she didn't realize that it coincides with a couple of other events that are planned at 2 o'clock. So Groveland doesn't have so many people that we can support all these events at one time. Anyway, but that's an important piece for people to attend.
Looks like we have Patricia F. is to message to everyone. She says, Bruce Dudley is the 49er Festival's chair for everything traffic and parking. Bob, just confirming that he is part of this Friday's meeting that you are having with CHP.
Yeah. Went to him first. He's the executive director of CSU. That'll be part of the program. And he will be our IC.
Thank you.
I see we've had people join us after we gave the instruction on how to submit public comments. I just want to make sure that everybody knows that is on the Zoom platform that when we call for public comment on each item that's on the agenda, you can use the tools of the Zoom platform, either submit a comment in the comment functions on Zoom, or you can send an email to board@gcsd.org, or you can raise your hand on the Zoom platform and we will acknowledge you as soon as we call for public comment on each item as well. So hopefully that's understandable. No, you're fine, Pat. You did good. You did it in the comments. You did perfect. It was great. It was easy. It's easy for us to see and easy to call out.
Anything else, Bob?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on to the operation room.
All right. Good morning, everybody. And on the water side of things, we have 4 water breaks, 2 service lines, 2 main lines, nothing too catastrophic, but it did happen. Sewer side, just routine maintenance and stuff that we were able to get to on that. Other than that, it's pretty quiet. Projects, park project moving forward. The bathroom will be set next Wednesday. So that's Wednesday. That's exciting. They're going to be here. The crew comes here yesterday. We do got to limb up a tree a little bit for them to get in and set up. But nothing too catastrophic. They weren't worried about the coming in and out. But we will be closing that section of the one half of the park, and then the library parking lot will have to be closed that Wednesday because they're going to have the bathroom trucks and the crane truck in there. So we're going to have to make sure we get coordinate that with the library people in the county.
Probably and, yards too as well.
And yards as well.
Yeah, okay.
And then Thursday, we're having that tree limb, which is on the corner going into the library parking lot. So I'm going to make some contact with them just for Thursday. It'll be, we say half day, but it could be just a couple hours when you get up there and take about 6 minutes off that too. So, but that's Thursday. I will work with Megan and the folks in the office to get that done.
Can you set up bleachers?
We can. Definitely can do that. Headworks projects moving along. Ran into a couple little hiccups, nothing major, but it's kind of slowed down a little bit, but we're moving right along. It's going on a cure time. We can't set the equipment on the concrete They can't coat it. It takes 48 days to cure before they can actually coat it. So that's kind of a downfall for the product that we're using on that. But slowed it down a little bit, but they're still moving forward. Let's see, sewer project. We got the state finally responded to us, and that's back on the books. But we haven't seen a schedule yet, but hopefully this week we should see a schedule. And it's kind of wait for the coding contractor to actually get back with Mortal and kind of get their dates and stuff that they can start working there. So hopefully we get that going here real fast and get that done before the quarter. Tank project went out the bid. We got the bid back. Nearich was the lowest bidder on that project. We had a meeting with them yesterday trying to reduce scopes and try to wiggle some of the money around. And we actually had a really, really good conversation with them. So they're going to be getting back to us on that, trying to get it down kind of like an engineered estimate cost. So
as we've seen on every project we've bid in the last year, significantly over budget, over the engineer's estimate, over what we had in the state budget for the grant. That was what Louie was talking about, is trying to model, but you can work with, once you have your low bidder, you can modify the project a little bit to better fit the budget, and that's where they are. Appreciate that.
Yeah. We actually reached out to the state as well, asking if they had any more money available. They said that. Just so you know, we didn't. But they didn't have anything additional, so we're trying to get what we can out of the project. That project's pretty basic. So we can't really cut a whole bunch out of it. It's all necessary stuff. So, but we came up with a good plan yesterday. But we'll see how it comes back here shortly. AWS, we're still finalizing a few little small details, and then they'll get that up to bid. And I don't have the time. I thought I was going to go out last week, but still haven't had clarification from Brandon on when that's going to happen. But. And then the water fill station is on the agenda, so we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But that's, we had the bids and we had the lowest bidder on the agenda, so that one will be moving forward as well.
With the 23 hours of sewer after hours time, was that like one big thing or a bunch of little things?
23 hours.
If you're charted, not after hour calls.
It was multiple things. A lot of power stuff related, odor complaints, a few of those are in there.
It wasn't one big thing.
It was continuous throughout the month. So I know the guys here on the E-Basin monitoring, because we're on bypass, we were only using half the E-Basin for a while. So they're having to make sure it didn't spill over because of the liner was cut at one point. So it was a lot of that kind of stuff going on.
Yeah. We're two people short in that department as well. So they're working overtime. So a lot of just keep it live.
And then a lot of the lift station stuff, like when we lose power and did all that, you have to go around and drive and reset VFDs.
Right. Okay. Just because it was kind of out of the line.
It was. So we actually last couple of
weeks. That's it. Right there.
Because of the short stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't even. That I think that's going to the C&D side too on that report there. So, yep. So,
that's
it. Thank you very much.
Next, we have the administration.
Let's ask for a
public
comment.
I'm so sorry.
Mike has my husband has returned home. He's in the house.
Mike's in the house.
Pretty sure he's in the house.
Duly noted.
And he's over 8. Okay, thank you.
Another comment?
Yes, Patricia, no, Ruby is due to submit a GCSC article for the chamber. The chamber has received 12 inquiries as to what's happening at the park since you started this work. Well, we have referenced all inquiries to the GCSD telephone number. For accuracy, you might consider the article's content this week providing a progress report. Ronnie replied, yep, have all of the minutes ready. Good to go.
Good. Yes, we'll get that out there.
Thank you, Patricia.
It's, you know, minor compared to what's going to happen, but yeah, you can definitely see that the wheels on the bus are going round and round.
Yeah, and you know what else is neat? We actually just installed yesterday, you know, all the billboards that we have out here for all of the projects. We had a really beautiful one designed, and it is actually located at the park. It says what the project title is, and then it has our logo and Clean California's logo, and then a bullet point of everything that's being installed. So,
yeah, of course, that was a brilliant idea. Yes. To just put it down there and answer all the questions like you just.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Good idea.
Hold on. No, it's not. Sorry, like, that's what Rachel. We'll have our sign.
Yes, we are.
As you should be.
Okay, my report. So, Admin, we have been very, 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 very busy. A lot of things going on. Specifically, things that I've been working on, which we're going into closed session today to talk about, is going over the meeting with the bargaining unit, going over their points, putting something together so that we can meet in closed session today to discuss that with the board. In addition, I have been spending a significant amount of time updating the district's employee handbook. This is something we started back in 2019, and then COVID hit, and we all know how that went. And so now, since we're going through this process again, it's forced me to need to go back and revisit, because there's just a lot that's changed in the law since then. So spent a significant amount of time in that, in addition to Pete and Louie going over it. That'll be something later down the road, but just to give the board the heads up on a complete like update and revamp and bring it into, you know, 2024. Clean California. So as we were discussing, a lot of construction going on, specifically with admin, we've been, and there's a lot of things that we had to order specifically that weren't part of the bid package. So benches, bicycle racks. It was supposed to be the informational kiosk, but we're running into some issues with that. Wayfinding, signage, anything else? I was just looking at the sign right now. As you were speaking. So we've been working through the details for those things and working with the contractor, and we've had a couple of things because, you know, you have the plan that the engineer and the park architect designs, but when you actually get out and lay, we've run into some things needed to move up and shift a couple of things. So we've been doing that, and that's been interesting. Definitely learned a lot that we needed to start that ordering process way farther in advance. We are working on a large reimbursement to the state for that project. Right now it's about $145,826, of which $134,153 will be reimbursed. The majority of that is the chamber's work, the trash cans and all of the planters and everything with that, because our, other than the restroom that we've had to pay for, our cost for the project is just now starting to ramp up with the contractor out there. So we are working with the chamber right now, finalizing and getting that section of the project wrapped up and final invoices so we can close that out and bill the 25%, and then we can, that part's done. So very beautiful. I was on vacation when those were revealed, but the trash cans in town, it was kind of neat coming back into town because you have so much construction going on between the chambers, like the Clean California part for that. You had the Rivian station, the parks being completely, it was kind of exciting to see how many people haven't seen that since like its heyday. So anyways, Michelle is working on closing out last fiscal year and preparing for our annual audit. We have a date set for that. I never asked you to tell me.
They're going to start mid-September, just like last year.
Okay. So Michelle and I met with ClearGov. They are like a budgeting software company, because we have learned through just the budget process and doing our own spreadsheets, it's very difficult and it's very time consuming. And so we sat down with one of the representatives from that, went through it, and we're really excited. It looks like it's going to be feasible for us cost-wise and make our lives much easier and Michelle's lives much easier with the budgeting, and open up so much more for the district as far as reporting tools and I mean, essentially almost eliminating the error like factor, because it essentially looks like what we do, but it's on such an automated level and very intuitive. So right now, Michelle is doing kind of like a cross check with OpenGov. They're like the other competitor agency, a little bit bigger. The county uses them, just doing our due diligence to cross reference and check cost prices and see if that is even an option before. But we do kind of bring your recommendation to the board to move to some type of budgeting software tool. Status of the home, that's been fun. There's a lot of back and forth that's been going on with that. However, I am happy to announce that it looks like we will be closing on the Ferretti home property within probably the next couple weeks, hopefully. There was a couple of, when we did a walkthrough and had the inspections done, there was some repair, nothing super crazy, cosmetics, some boards on the deck, some facing on the outside. So we have negotiated with the current property owner and some septic repairs that needed to be done. So we negotiated the price $5,000 even less than what we had, and then they were taking care of the septic repairs. So that should be wrapping up soon. And as far, I'm not sure exactly what was updated at last month's meeting because I wasn't here, but the other property we were looking at fell through. There's just too many issues, and it just didn't feel right. We weren't working with the other real estate agent very well. But we do continue to look for other options, specifically vacant where we can have the longer term solution that we wanted to, so have kind of a centralized area with employee housing and then be removed outside of Pine Mountain Lake. So we're still in the process of doing that. And 49er Festival, so that's right around the corner. Staff has been brainstorming and coming up with our new plan for the booth this year, and we're excited. I won't go into any like super details, but we plan on bringing the game back and the spin game and prizes and some other changing the information and the interactive component of that. And the other last thing, we had a Movies in the Park on Saturday, and it was very busy. It was Rachel and Amber and I that worked it, and it was non-stop. We didn't have a break at all. The grass was at least two-thirds full. People, their families everywhere. It was a lot of fun. So I just want to report that those continue to either grow in attendance or people that follow us, and it's very successful, and we get so much positive feedback from the people in the community.
And it's definitely paying for itself now.
Yeah, pretty close. We're making a decent amount of money. I mean, we're kicking our butts at the snack shack and sweating to death. But yes, we're doing very well. And that event is doing very well, and it's very good with the public equity for the district and for people to see GCSD in a completely different capacity than just water and sewer bills. And I have other stuff, but that's on the agenda. On this report.
Did you ever look into that contributing a hot dog roller thing?
We'll talk about that later.
All right. Any?
Just a question. Any idea where you guys are with the acquisition of the railroad grade down to Lift Station 16?
Yes, we have completed the record of survey with the land survey engineer that was working on that. That is currently being reviewed by legal counsel, and that's where we are. Once that comes back, and if we don't see any major deficiencies, then we will re-engage the process with San Francisco for appraisal of the property and then move in through there.
But it will be more than a couple of weeks before you own the dirt.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It'll be, I say
spring.
Yeah, I was going to say at best.
Of some year.
Six,
some year.
Spring of 25.
Hopefully it's a 20 year.
Still very interested in when you guys get the dirt, because there's $12,000 sitting at TCT's.
Open those a little bit.
Well, I will say, it's interesting going through like this process specifically, or even the home, when you have a private experience of doing these things, and then you work, because we have been moving, especially the land acquisition with SFUC, as fast as we possibly can move that forward. We have been, but the district has, we needed to rely on outside assistance, and because it's just, this isn't, you know, like I'll be an expert at this when it's over, and I'll never use this knowledge again for the rest of my life, probably.
That's what my dad said. Something my dad said. Never going to use this again.
Regular railroads. You know, this was a very specific railroad that was built by a public agency, like just completely different from any of the other railroads that exist throughout, you know, connecting the east to the west coast. So it's just been very, it's been a learning culture. Luckily, the legal counsel that we have reviewing it has experience in railroad land acquisition. So we were very, you could tell she knew a lot of the things that she was talking about and brought up things like, you know, when we do acquire the land, we probably want to keep whatever permit rights we have rather than just acquiring the land and letting those permits go, because the permit may have something that we could lose just by acquiring the land. Anyways, it was a good meeting. We sat down with them last week and we felt confident because that was kind of the next hurdle. Because once we get through with that, San Francisco has a very specific process that they have to go to sell any land whatsoever, and then once they get through that, then just the process of going to the commission and so on.
On top of that, the Raker Act, which is a federal act, controls part of that as well.
Yes.
We asked when we wanted to put the sign up at the top of Priest Grade, who owns the dirt, and it's the Anchor family or Hetchy owns the dirt at the top of Anchor Priest Grade, and the Anchor family or the county didn't know where the line was, and Hetchy said that they could send out their surveyor. It would be that their backlog was about 8 to 10 years.
Lord.
Bananas. There's a big GFL with this whole thing.
Well, and that's where we've had it with the record of surveys, figuring out those real boundaries and the encumbrance and the encroachments on them, because there's been conflicting where the boundary lies. So trying to figure out where the actual boundary lies is not the county's information, it's different from the city's information. So it's been a fun project for sure.
Yeah, they have very different technologies back then. And they also dug into Groveland and bought the properties using gold bars.
Oh, wow. Pretty.
That was their negotiating.
You're kidding me.
Seriously.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, these are the things that we intend to tell in the interpretive part of this project, yeah, because it's just, can you imagine the look on the face of the property owner when these guys walked up probably in suits and with gold bars and said, we'd like to have 100 feet of your property, you know, linear in between.
Go get my wagon.
and one of the things, we used to do a lot of hikes up to the mine that was up there, the stamp mill before it burned down. And it was really fine until some property owners had a unique technique. They said, well, let's just move the fence over here. Yeah. And then they've now acquired that piece of property. And on the other side of the fence were dogs. So we didn't hike there.
Probably a good call.
That's crazy.
Great. Right. Don't worry.
I don't need to end, and I don't mean to minimize. Yes.
No, but I'll stop there.
Well, yeah, like you said, the other stuff is covered in the agenda item. So, any other questions, comments? Anything from the public? Rachel?
I don't have anything.
Nothing. All righty. It's your turn.
Good. A lot of the same things. I'm not going to cover the things that everyone else has gotten into, but you know, the employee housing has been a new avenue for us, a new learning curve, and everything else related to acquiring properties with public money, and answering questions about it and everything else publicly to try to get an understanding that the rentals are just not there. We have open positions we can't fill because people can't move here. And they have to respond within, you know, a short period of time. So they've got to be able to, live both of them. That's, you know, I know they're dealing with that with the lodging industry like crazy. So that's a big priority and taking a lot of time. There's a couple of projects. The Department of Water Resources funding, that agreement has to be extended. So that they have a process that we go through to submit documentation to be able to extend the completion date for those projects. That's always kind of one of those things that you get a little bit nervous about when the state is taking back money as fast as they can take it because of the budget cuts. And if you're not meeting your timelines, you know, sometimes they are a little less willing to give you those extensions. But we're making good progress on everything. There's no concern really about those, but we're working through that extension. We're also working through a modified scope with the State Water Board on the sewer project that Louie talked about, because the bids came in lower than the engineer's estimate back when we bid that project, right before the huge increase in everything. And so we've got money available to do additional work. We just have to go through a process with the state to get them to understand its relationship with the current project and the need for it and all that. And that's to enhance the sewer collection system, everything from wet wells and, you know, and pipelines and everything else to stop INI and to reduce odor and to improve the operation of the system. We have really had a difficult time in making the recommendation to this board about the Hetch Hetchy River Trail consultant, the design consultant, just because we were lucky enough to get two of the best proposals I've ever had in my entire career for this project. And it's because people are really excited about doing the design. It's one of those legacy projects that the engineering firms and the landscape architect firms like to work on because of how many people are going to visit it and what it means and its significance to the state of California and the region here. So we'll talk about that on the agenda a little bit here. It's been great. You've had interviews and just you spend a lot of time going through this and really thinking through because you're picking the team that you're going to work with for the next 5 years, potentially. To get these things done. Starting to hold coordination meetings with CAO Tracy Riggs. She called this meeting and we decided we're going to meet on a regular basis just to go over our laundry list of things that we're working on and coordination issues. I think it's a fantastic opportunity to really just, we have a great relationship to be able to just talk openly about everything. In addition to that, we're also working on a revised agreement for the county engine, the co-location agreement that we have to locate the county engine in our station. We've got some changes proposed in this version of the agreement just to look at a longer term, to look at proportionality of it because if they might have, they'll have three people living there and we'll have two. And right now the expenses are split 50-50. So looking at evening that up, looking at hopefully getting them to make some commitments long-term. If we're going to continue to offer the facility rent-free for them to have the engine there because they know they need it here because of, you know, all the needs that we have and the pressures that they're putting on the development. Getting them to commit one term is really good, really important. So we'll be talking about that probably next month. So that will be on our agenda. So the record survey, we talked about that. That's been a heck of a lot of work there. It's an interesting process. CSCA is going through they're basically establishing subject matter experts in different aspects of district management, so that when they run into an issue with for example, the legislature, and they need to send a legislative staffer to a district to understand why this is an impact on something, it's pretty much a direct linkage between new legislation and subject matter experts in the field to be able to have a direct conversation back and forth and hopefully get some better legislation out of it, better understanding on the part of the legislature. So I participated in that and did an interview with the CSCA's consultant as a subject matter expert, which was very interesting. And then I included the County Natural Resources Committee agenda and information about SB 1255, which is I don't know where it is today, but it was really, really close. It's strongly supported, and it's establishing a basically a subsidy fund where qualified low-income residents can have their bills paid for, and you know, establishing a voluntary program for other ratepayers who don't qualify to give money into the program. To be able to fund the program for low income, in other words, to pay low income people's bill of donations from non-qualifying customers that are higher income. But the state is forcing it, so people have to give on a voluntary basis. If they don't give, it's gonna show up in their rates because there's no other source of revenue. So the higher income, all of the customers are gonna pay higher rates to be able to establish a low-income subsidy program. It's not like PG&E that has, you know, the millions of customers that they have and the different sources of revenue to be able to fund these subsidies. We don't have any other type of funding to fund a subsidy for low-income, so it comes out of rates. So trying to make that relationship with the state has been tough. So hopefully they don't go there. Eventually they will, and if they provide a source of funding for it, it's fine, which they have in the past during COVID. That's a different source of funding, but so this is a big big topic for AQUA, the Association of California Water Agencies, in opposition, or just trying to get some sense in it so that it if the state's going to mandate it, that they provide a source of revenue, but it doesn't come out of, doesn't make everybody's water rates go up throughout the state. And the parks would be great.
The parks would be great.
Alrighty. So the next item is proclamations, and this is kind of one of those, how can these two things be true at the same time? The recognition of Michelle Hine for her 1 year service to the Global Community Services District. And it seems like she's been here a month in a way. Yeah. She's this just refreshing face. And another time, it seemed like she's been here forever.
She just made a comment before the meeting started that it seems like the fastest year, but also the slowest year.
Yeah, Michelle definitely, the fastest anniversary. When I saw it on the agenda, like,
I know, it was kind of like, I thought the same thing.
I think we were using a wrong agenda or something.
Yeah, I think we copied this in from somebody else.
Yeah.
But so, I think part of that is just because you've fit in so well.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, you're a fresh new face, but at the same time, it seems like you've been here forever. So.
She's a fresh new face, but she's picked up on things so seamlessly that it's made it feel like she's been here for a long time. I can't say enough positive things about all of my staff, but, you know, Michelle specifically has, for myself and the district together, what she's brought here as far as her finance knowledge and capabilities has been a huge asset. It has allowed me to do so much more than I was ever capable of doing prior to her coming on with the finance and the budget. And she has needed, she's so resourceful. If she figures things out, which it kind of, you know, amazes me, because I know she's got experience, but she doesn't have the district experience, but somehow she figures out where within the district to find the information well before she comes to me. So when she's coming to me, I'm assuming that she's gotten 60% of the way there and I'm in help with the rest. And no, she's like 85%+ of the way there on so many things. There's a sense of security that comes with Michelle and assurance, knowing that what she's doing is going to be accurate, it's going to be correct, it's going to be, you know, compliant. And she's just been incredible. You know, I mean, her work ethic is very, you just don't see people with that nowadays. You just, it's so rare. I mean, I'm so happy and feel so fortunate that we stole her from the county. But this is the kind of stuff, like, why what the district offers is so important. You know, the benefits in addition to the, you know, specifically the culture, because so many times she's been here, she's, can I do this? But I don't really know, because she's been conditioned to be, you know, very kind of institutionalized and in a very, like, static type of way. And the freedom and the flexibility and just what we kind of, you know, encompass here and that we nurture has been a huge benefit. And so it just speaks to that. Like, we're doing things, you know, right. And people that we're losing or we have lost has nothing to do with really the district specifically or anything that we could have ever done better. So anyways, and then she's just a, you know, she's a great person. She's super helpful. She's positive all of the time. And it makes the, no, sorry. And it makes the environment. It just, we've got, and I think of people that know when they walk into the admin office, it's like the energy is there. It's positive. It's never, you know, people, it's just part of the day. Anyways, I'm just very, 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 very happy and proud of all of my staff. And Michelle has just enhanced that beyond, you know, what I thought was possible. So thank you for coming here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank
and
you
congratulations.
Thank you. I love being here. Thank you guys for everything. I learned a lot, and every day I learn a lot. So I'm just happy to be
very
here.
Cool.
And that shows.
I think you should get her a 49er.
Why would we do that? Mm-hmm. Exactly the dimension that we looked for, that to add to the district and its capabilities, and my ability to do other, not panic about everything, because I know that everything is in good hands, and the most important part of the district and its cash flow, and getting people paid, getting vendors paid, you know, everything balancing out. Feel extremely confident in where we are and where we're going, and it allows us to be able to actually take vacation, take a break. Not, I turned Caltrans stuff over to her the other day. She's already got the names down of all of the players, and was already in. Oh, I talked to Jasmine, I talked to Benjamin, I talked blah blah blah. Okay, fantastic. These are all things that I really couldn't even get them going in the right direction. So she has a good way of coming at people to get them to go the right way and get things done and do it in a very confident way. So definitely fills that dimension that we were looking for in the district. Now, Jen's staff.
All good. Yeah. Very good. Love having her. Any other comments?
If she's still here, after you gave her Caltrans, she's worth
it. I'm determined now to get that completed.
Good girl.
Accepts the
check. We go to submit a reimbursement request to the state, our first one for the active transportation, and they said, they got back to Michelle and said, we get the name wrong. They put it under Tuolumne County when it went to the California Transportation Commission. They approved the allocation as an allocation to the county instead of to GCSD or to the Tuolumne County Transportation Council. So they can't make the reimbursement until it goes back to the CTC. So those are the kind of things that happen. They don't run it by you to review it. They just,
I'm sorry, the county didn't volunteer the information that they had a check that had anything to do with GCSD?
It doesn't. No, it's never a check. The grants never give you checks up front.
Okay, that's right. But they
you go So they're waiting for the county to spend money to get reimbursed. And the county's not spending that money. So yeah. So they have to change it to the Tacoma County Transportation Council is who's getting the allocation, and then we're managing the project.
Okay. Golly. Okay, thank you.
Pretty nice way to put this down.
Well, we've experienced that throughout the whole with Caltrans, through Clean California, everything. They're very confused. They thought we were the county, or send us, you didn't send us your progress report, like, you thought we're not the county. So
make sure they don't know anything about Ron.
Yeah.
Looking right at her last name. And then there's Ronnie up there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we don't want them to realize how good she is. We were just kidding on all that, in case they're listening.
I'm not going back.
Alrighty. So can we get a motion on the
consent?
Thanks
bye-bye.
For coming.
Thanks. Be safe, gentlemen.
Thank you. Move to approve it, Mr. Calvert.
I second the motion.
How did I know that was how it was going? Any questions, comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay.
Aye, aye, aye.
That was an aye, aye, aye.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have no old business. I'll step away here. So on to the discussion items. First item is annual review and discussion of the district's conflict of interest policy in accordance with the Political Reform Act.
This is more of a procedural requirement. Basically, the law requires that we check in if there have been any major changes in our organization or the way that we handle things. We need to double check to make sure that our conflict of interest policy is up to date and that the appropriate parties are filing Form 700s. And at this point, there have been any changes that require prompt a change in our policy. The recommendation is that we will check the form that there's no change, but that's up to the board. Would like to amend your policy or keep it the same.
No
action
is required.
That's
kind of right. Transparency in the state of California. So this conflict of interest code basically just says, you know, you have to file Form 700 and disclose any interests in that may affect your decision making as a public official.
You have to have one for everything.
In the past,
yeah.
Not our district.
No way.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. All right. No change required.
Yep.
Item D, it's an adoption of a resolution approving an amendment to current policy regarding public access to district owned easements.
So,
page 50.
Thank you.
We have policies in place that are. That are there to guide management to allow certain things to happen when it comes to either properties owned by the district or properties that the district needs for easements and such. We, in many cases, will adopt these policies independently and they're not coordinated together. So you may have a new development policy that says one thing and you'll have an operational easement acquisition policy that says something different, and they may conflict with each other, and we were finding that our three different separate policies were confusing. And we also have added, we have moved a staff person into a responsible position in managing our assets and our easements, and that's Adam. And so we've asked him to be involved in reviewing our policies and making some amendments and combining those policies and making them easier to understand, easier to implement, allow for more consistency and all of that. So, and this, again, this is covers, let's just say the district needs to put a sewer line in and it's to acquire easements from property owners. You get to go to property owners and ask for easements. This outlines the process for that. What we see more is people coming to us wanting to have access to our property or access to an easement that we have. And so this establishes that process as well. In other words, if we're going to have somebody set up on our property to do a, you know, we could even use it, for example, if a contractor was going to pay us for a staging area up on the hill because there was, you know, they were going to do a major reconstruction project on the highway or something, we would use this policy to guide the process to get them a permit to be able to have access to that property. Basically sets the rules of that engagement. Sometimes we're acquiring or having people wanting to encroach on our easement, and that seems to be some of the most common things. Somebody wants to build stairs down to the water. Somebody wants to build a flat spot to, you know, to sit chairs. Somebody wants to you know, pour some concrete, or they want to build a structure over the top of a sewer line. This establishes the process for that. And the last thing is we get requests for lot mergers where they want to abandon the public utility easement that's in the middle of the two lots. And we've already adopted a policy that basically says we're not going to do it unless there are extenuating circumstances where there's absolutely no possibility for a need in the future. Because sometimes you can't predict the need or use in the future. And the minute we give up the right to property, if we have to purchase it again in the future, you're talking an exponentially more expensive. And sometimes you can't get it unless you go to court.
Haven't they stopped merging? I think they passed a rule. There are no longer any merging lots.
This doesn't relate just to Pine Mountain Lake.
Okay.
This is anywhere in the district, or, you know, that
we have, okay.
Have an interest in property.
About those.
There might be easements that we acquired for some other purpose that we don't need anymore. You know, then people might ask to abandon those and. But the property merger seems to be one of the more popular ones. We haven't had a lot lately because we adopted policy that we're not going to do it unless someone brings it to the board. We just happen to have one on the agenda today. So I'm pretty much done talking about this policy, but I could certainly answer any questions if you have them.
I don't have any questions.
We've been through this several times since I was on.
Real quick, can you tell us what's going on with that over by the little bridge around where it comes into the. Yeah, all the people that have the property that adjacent to the water there that have to cross our. What's going on with that thing?
What they're doing? I haven't heard if they're working together to try to secure some common area that allows for general public access in any way. At this point, I really haven't heard anything else.
So we did receive a phone call yesterday from a person that does yard cleanup and stuff, and we forwarded the phone call to Adam because we were uncertain of the response to give her, because she was requesting that we unlock it for her so that she could access the property to do maintenance, and informed us that the standard response is that we do not have the authority to permit anybody to go onto other people's property. So that's where we stand.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's no different from when we had it on the agenda before.
Right, okay.
Basically, we own the rights to go on that road and improve that road and maintain that road for the purpose of accessing our sewer lift station at the end.
Right.
That doesn't give us the right to let anybody else on it. So if anybody else puts a lock on it or whatever, that's up to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. And the policy doesn't prohibit that or change that in any way because there's nothing we can't do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I think I understand on this all. So there's a policy byline, which embodies within it policy 501, 502, 503, 504. So you're really on the part where it does that. That's what we're approving is modifications to policy 500 that incorporates changes to all of these
correct
policies.
There's a, I assume you saw the sheet at the, I believe it's at the end.
I don't know, there's a lot of sheets.
I've
been looking at it online, there were a lot of sheets online, and that is
yes,
got to work
with yes.
But that's the deal.
The resolution, there's a document that is basically comparing, because we couldn't do track changes on it because we're, you know, it'd all be track changes. You'd never know because it was
right.
Multiple sections and policies combined into one. We had to do this acceptance, the document at the end that basically says what the changes were to those policies.
Right. No further discussion? Get a motion to approve this amendment.
I'll second that motion.
Oh, got it, Jen.
We don't have a first yet.
Okay, so.
Oh.
Can we make the motion?
You want to make it?
Sure, I'll make a motion to... Wait a minute, I turned the page over already. No, C. I'll make a motion... I move to adopt resolution 21-2024, authorizing the general manager to approve the application for abandonment of interest in public utility easement associated with
Janice.
Yes. Is that the wrong one?
That's the next one.
Okay.
Well, can't we just do the next one? What page? 50. B. I move to adopt resolution 20-2024, approving the amendment of the current policy regarding public access to district-owned easements.
I will second that motion.
Thank you,
Spencer. Thank
you. Okay, seeing none, we'll take the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, moving right along. The next item is in consideration of a position on the Tuolumne County Measure Z sales tax and its associated. Oops. Oh, well, you know what? I hit already my thing down when we did the thing. And I did that trying to keep myself in line.
We are good today.
I should just page that on.
Snap that whip. Somebody in there.
Adoption of a resolution authorizing the general manager to approve the application for abandonment of interest in public utility easement associated with APN 093-290-006 and 093-290-007.
These are properties within airport estates, which are not within our boundaries, which we really have no jurisdiction over. However, it's there's an application for annexation in place. We will ultimately have those properties annexed into the district boundaries, and the property owner has been working very diligently with the district to request that these the public utility easement be our interest in the easement be abandoned. We don't own that easement. It's recorded on the map as a condition of creating that map, you know, for the subdivision. But basically what we do is we release our interest in it, and then if no one else expresses interest to put utilities down it, then the property owner can have that easement removed. We've determined through a lot of evaluation and time that there's, you know, it didn't have the easement before. We don't need the easement in that location. We won't need it. And it's needed by the property owner to be able to do that and put their home in the right spot and their access to it. So the recommendation is that we adopt the resolution that allows for abandoning our interest in the easement.
I move to adopt resolution 21-2024, authorizing the general manager to approve the application for a minimum of interest in public utility easement associated with APN 093290006 and 093290007.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. I have no comments. This happens to be somebody who's out by the airport near us, but we had asked about it, which is why I have little plans here in case anybody wanted to.
I think this. Summarize the situation.
And where it is, their house literally is going to go boom, boom, boom. So the idea that somebody's going to want to access it in the future would be zero.
I think the key point is that if we do need a sewer easement in the future, it wasn't going to be there anyhow. So
all right. So all in favor of this motion?
Aye.
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 We opposed say nay. And the motion passes 4-0. He'll be happy. Item D. Consideration of a position on the Tuolumne County Measure Z sales tax and its associated advisory measure scheduled for the November 2024 ballot.
We have an opportunity here to take a position on a measure that's taken the county a long time to get moving forward on. 5 years ago, there wouldn't have been a lot of support for this type of a measure. At this point, this is a fantastic option for the county to not be levying a special tax on properties, looking to the voters to adopt a sales tax that would be charged and generate a significant amount of revenue. It wouldn't be an amount that would get the county completely out of the hole on everything, but considering the increases in TOT and the popularity of vacation rentals and short-term rentals and all of that, they've been pretty consistent in generating a good amount of revenue in that way. The sales tax revenue would generate enough money to, with the right strategies in place, provide funding for the priorities in both fire protection, enforcement, and roads. The county has two measures that they approved to move forward. One of them is the sales tax funding measure. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, and then I'll have you jump in. The sales tax measure would increase the sales tax in the county area, and would the commitment is at this point that would be for law enforcement, for fire protection, and for roads. And as it is with the sales tax, that is not absolutely guaranteed, because it was to be earmarked specifically and by amounts and have any criteria on how it was allocated, it would not be able to be a sales tax, and it would require a special tax that was had a completely different calculation formula and would be have a different voter threshold. So sales tax is a majority threshold. And this tax is a little bit different than what we've seen in the past because of the the TOT tax and the discussions with the Visitors Bureau and some of the folks that would not have necessarily come out in favor of a sales tax. They are coming out in favor of a sales tax and they are assisting with because the county can't advocate for it, the district can't advocate for it. It's going through private entities that can advocate, and there will be an advocacy effort that, that Lynn can talk about. But the benefit of that is it hasn't happened in the past, and the county sales tax measures failed because of it. So having the strategic people in place that they do to be able to get the word out and explain what the necessity of this and what we're doing with it is very important. To have the district take a position on that is allowed under law. We can't advocate, as I talked about, but we could take a position, and taking a position is a statement to the group that is leading the advocacy that we understand the benefit of this, we understand the need for it, we understand and have an expectation that it's going to fund that. And we're going to, every year going forward, if it is approved, every year going forward, we're going to have to be at the table to make sure that that funding goes where it needs to go. And I believe they have some processes built in within the measure that they would be implementing to make sure that the funding does go to where the community needs it the most. They also have the counterpart measure, which is the measure A on the ballot, that asks the question if that's what the public wants to see happen with that money. You can have the public tell you that that's where it's going to go, or if they want it to go. You just can't have the politicians say specifically that's where it's going to go in perpetuity. So I know I covered a lot there. I think it's advantageous and important for the district to take a position on this and a position in support. And at the same time, I expect that we will take an active role in reviewing the expenditures and continuing to assist the county in developing strategic plans for fire services and making sure that they're funded, especially the commitment to have the second engine here and the potential for a new station here funded and staff, extremely important. Without this funding, the grant money will run out, and I believe it's in 2 years. And when that assistant to firefighters grant funding runs out, I'm not going to say the county has said we're without it. We're going to cut that engine, but we didn't have it before, and the only way we got it was because of the ARPA money, you know, the COVID money. And then the only reason that we kept it was because of the assistance to firefighter grant, and they're not going to get that every year. And so they're going to have to, without the sales tax, they're going to have to pull it from somewhere, which means they're going to have to reduce spending somewhere else. And that is always hard for any county to do. So, do you mind if I, Linda, is there anything that?
No, I just, I'm with the president of the Lodging Association, and because of the arguments the county were having with Visit Tom County, we said that we would perform a little action committee, which, you know, I'm working with Mario and Torres and those. So this political action committee is going to be putting forward an argument that you see there. And we're also going to be working with the firefighters union, getting signage out and really kind of push for this Measure Z to actually pass. The last time it was a special tax, which needed a 66% threshold, 67%. This only needs 50%, and I didn't believe last time, you know, about 48-49% for a special tax. So having Measure A is also really important too, because it tells the public then that the county isn't, you know, so there's a lot of mistrust amongst the population of how the county spends its money. So having Measure A included in this as well, which was signed by the county supervisors, hopefully will persuade people that the money is going to be spent the way they need to be spent. So so that's what we're doing right now. We've got this little action committee moving. And hopefully we'll get some funding and get a lot of signs out, mailers explaining what's going to happen with the tax and how much it is. And even with this 1% sales tax increase, we're still going to be one of the lowest in the state. I mean, we are, there's only four counties that are as low as us right now. The nice thing about this is 1% all goes to the county. State can't touch it. Whereas, you know, the other 6% that you know, goes to the state, and that other 1.25%, the state can mandate how parts of that are spent. And every year they mandate more and more and more as to how it's going to be spent. So this, without this, I don't see how the county can possibly continue to fund, especially fire, police, and sheriff, I should say. So anyway, it's very important. And hopefully having somebody like Pete on the argument will help, you know, especially in this area as well, getting it in the house. So you've already taken it. So you know, we've got a big variety of people on there, from business owners to the sheriff to Mario Torres. And so hopefully that'll be a good way to make people realize that this is really.
So, let me finish the thought there based on what Lynn brought. They've got my name on there. This can be me representing the district. It could be for the board of directors. It could be the board of directors and the names of the board as the elected officials. And you can have it any way you want there, you know, because it is the district. I just needed authority to be able to say something. So we have that conversation. Do you think it should be the board of directors? I don't take it personally, so don't worry about that. That's not.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, as well as you know, it's the board of directors and.
I don't think it should be either or. Does it have to be either or?
I don't know. So you're thinking if it would be the board of directors? I mean, right now I've just got the general manager. We could put. I'm assuming I'll check with Josh at elections to make sure that it doesn't have to be an individual person. It could be an entity. I'm sure it can be. Then it would be, you know, GCSE board of directors, I assume, or something like that.
All we're doing is take. I mean, all we can do is take a position. We are going to have to be careful. If we do this as a board, then we're going to need to be sure that we remember that if we talk about this outside, that we have to be clear that we're talking about it as private citizens and not as board members. And probably be a little cautious about who advocates about it as well. I mean, there's limitations to what you could do. If we take a board position on it, we have to just say that's. We support this. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, can we just say that the board of directors supports our general manager, Pete Campa, that type of thing? Is that what you mean, Bob? Or if we're going to have Pete's name on there?
Yeah, that's what we're really looking for is what, you know, we've got, for instance, Cindy Zielinski, business owner, David Vasquez, Albany County Sheriff, Mario Torres, CAL FIRE, what would your signature be on the bottom of this? How would you phrase it, basically?
I think you just say Coldwell Community of Services District. That implies the entity, which encompasses the board. I mean, you need to say the board, or, I mean, to me, just as a private citizen, I would seeing it in like Piedmont Lake Association, not the board of Piedmont Lake, because I'd want to know, well, did the association support it?
Oh, then
there's
just 5 people. Yeah.
So
it sounds like we're headed toward an action on it, and then I can work with them and the county to make sure that we get the verb.
Okay, so we can have a vote here that says that the board supports this method.
But you're really supporting the argument to the measure. Because this is an argument that we are submitting to the elections, which will be published in the ballot, you know, in the thing.
Okay.
So you can say you're supporting the measure, but what you're really supporting is the being a signatory on the argument, which is going to go in the ballot.
Okay, so we can't do any of the advertising for it, but we can sign something and publicly say that we're supporting it. Is that what you're saying?
Or it'll be in the ballot argument.
It's the ballot argument it's going to go on.
Yeah, but I think.
Okay. So that's okay to do, even though we can't run up and down the street with signs.
We'll let you figure out if you want to put Pete's name on there, if you want to say for the director.
Yeah, not all
the care. I will move that the Groveland Community Services District should present its support for the Maumee County Measure Z sales tax and its allocation to the fire emergency services and roads.
How about this is supported by GCSD. That's it. This is supported by GCSD. That means everybody here.
Right.
Not just the board. Everybody.
Okay, so I have a first and a second, and then I have some public comments.
Okay.
Patricia Ebb says, does the action committee recommend the vote to be moved to next spring or stay on the fall ballot? If that was explained, I'd missed it.
I haven't heard anything about being
moved.
I think from how I read it, it's just the county is putting it on the ballot.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, I have to have this in by next week too.
Yeah.
Let me just clarify that specifically. The County Board of Supervisors has voted for this measure to be on the ballot. They've created the ballot language. They've created all of the approving documents to get that on the ballot in November. That is for a sales tax. That is for the county, it's not a measure specifically for GCSD in any way. This is for the county, and once they've done that, then this political action committee, or the measure action committee, whatever it is, has created the argument in favor, and that's what we would be signing on to. So, Pat, any measure that the district would be doing would be separate and would take place at a later date, so that it is not in competition with this.
I think what she was trying to get at, if I read that right, is she was thinking the committee can pull it from this ballot and it's not, it's a totally county thing. The committee is just putting in some statements into it, not, they don't have the ability to pull that from the county and take it out of this ballot. Sorry.
Like in this, it just said the county has placed Measure D on the November 2024 ballot. It's not like they're considering it, it's on there.
Do we know if there's a sunset clause on this?
Yeah, 20 years. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Just as a personal taxpayer, rate payer, everything payer, I think the sales tax is a great way, because there's a noticeable portion of that that's not paid by local Palm County residents.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, it
is
My point is that there's a lot of people that come into our county for vacation and other things, and
sure,
they're going to get the sales tax.
Let them pay for part of it.
Yeah, just go to the Carnival on a Saturday afternoon.
Don't.
Food's not taxable.
Okay, so any other discussion? Anybody else online? All right. So we've got the measure motion and seconded. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Together. I'll talk to Josh at elections to find out.
You may want to talk to your group too.
Yeah.
Just to see what they think would be most.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item E is an adoption of a resolution authorizing the award of the water refill station rebid project to Peterson Excavating and to authorize the general manager to sign an agreement on behalf.
Wow, that money, the bids were crazy.
Yeah, I know.
That's cheaper than the first one.
Yeah, well,
I had all the bids on.
Yes.
Total 268.
Yeah.
Which we will make the grants, 150,000.
Well, and like even just the difference between low and high, you know, there's only three, it's practically double.
I think the highest is 228, isn't it, from Moyle?
Marriage.
There it is. 150.
Oh.
Moyle was 248, and then Marriage was 150.
Oh, okay. Okay. So this paper I have in my packet's not any good, right?
I don't know what that is.
No, you know what? Just kind of like how Peterson Excavation Inc. wrapped around. So Moyle must be the one in the middle.
Yeah, but there's only three bids.
No, and they have that wrong because Nourish is actually the 150 and Inc. is actually Moyle.
Nearest was 150.
Yes.
Is Moyle.
Yes.
Okay. And Inc. is just in
the continuation end of excavation.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of the end of Peterson Excavation, and it just wrapped in that cell.
They
put three of them in there.
There's three.
So this is a project that occurs out here. That was the one that's been funded. The first of its kind in the county. And it's really for all the work you've done on it over the last year and a half.
Yeah.
To get it where it is, but it's a real benefit to us, and it's also something that will work out really well for the people that are.
I was reading this yesterday. I just kind of showed me the difference in the numbers or whatever. He's like, so what is it for? So I read it to him. He's like, so where is this going to go? It's like that's going to be parked down the park.
It's just right out here in the parking lot, right?
Yeah, GCSD.
Yeah.
So I told him, like,
we don't have that many one at a time people, but we never know what's going to happen in the future. Yeah,
right.
We do have quite a few drought related well problems right around us, you know, where people have lost their well and can't get a well driller right away, or you know, just can't pull it off financially or whatever. And so they're driving around with a tank strapped in the back of their truck and come in and fill with a garden hose, you know. And this will make it a lot easier and also be able to, you know, not have to deal with.
Okay, I will move that we adopt resolution 22-2024. Resolution of the Board of Directors of Gilderland Community Services System authorizing the award of the water refill station rebid project, Peterson Excavating, and to authorize the general manager to sign an agreement on behalf of the person.
And I will second said motion.
Thank you. Is there a limit to how much, so we don't have the resorts down the road filling up 80 pickup trucks?
Say that again.
It's the amount of water someone.
Yeah, is there a limit to how much water the public can come and fill up their water bottles and their small truck portable tanks.
Not unless there is a a need within our water conservation, our water ordinance and our water conservation policies that require us to do something.
I mean, this is just, at this point, we're just authorizing building the thing.
Right.
We can make up rules for it as needed. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point that we don't have a policy on it, and we do need to be aware of the fact that our contract with the city and county of San Francisco has a specified service area, and lacking an alternate source of supply, we're prohibited from selling water outside of that service area.
Mm-hmm. Right, so we can't be selling water to people loading up tanker trucks and taking it themselves.
Correct.
Loading up to go camping,
yes, we're going to need to have a policy.
Ronnie has a comment.
Happens after we build this thing,
right? Yeah. I guess we have some comments.
Okay.
There we go. Ronnie, aren't we selling it for profit? Don't we want them to pay?
Oh yeah, we're not giving it away.
Well, it is to certain to certain people. There are certain people that will have credits with the county that are receiving aid or whatever that will have the ability to be able to purchase at the county's expense a certain amount of water.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, it's all being purchased.
Want firefalls wells to go out and then they need to fill up their swimming pool. And so they're coming in giving 50,000 gallons of water to fill up their pool.
That's another policy thing we'll have to address because
Right.
You know, if we've got a new groundwater well, and if we're using a new groundwater well, we're putting water into the system, that amount of water with SFPUC's approval could be sold through that. We'd have to do the accounting for it to show that it's offset. But and yes, we are in the business of selling water. That's not there's no such thing in our as a profit.
Yes.
And Ronnie, that's a word that you want to make sure that we don't use because we don't make a profit on water. What we do is we cover the cost.
Our expenses.
We cover the cost of producing the water, distributing the water, and storing the water, and all of that.
Got it. Thank you.
Equipment.
Okay.
Ronnie. Over.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Did she just sing it?
Yes.
All right. So now we are on to item F, which is on page 95. Review and discussion regarding the proposals that were received for the design services of the Berlin-Hetchy Railroad Trail Project Phase 1.
This is a tough one.
Then you want to give my voice and brain a break here? Sure.
So we issued the request for qualifications, and like Pete stated earlier, we received two very good proposals / qualification documents back. And we sat down with the committee, which consisted of GCSD staff, a member from the chamber, and a business owner within the community who reviewed the qualifications. And then we had scoring sheets, we met, and we went over the scoring sheets. There's, from the district standpoint and the way that we wrote the qualifications, we put a lot of emphasis on experience through the ATP process, because given what the experience that we have dealing through the Clean California, the little bit of Caltrans, and that is a much simpler project than an ATP project that has both state and federal funding components to it. We really felt it was critical because for project management of that, because the district was not going to know or be able to learn the Caltrans ATP process. And there's so many things that, like Pete said, we're not aware of that we're not doing. We don't want to miss deadlines, mess up funding because of the, you know, just the critical nature of and the importance of this project. So one of the proposals came back that really outlined that they were wonderful with the ATP. They had experience in it, lots of project experience, could absolutely walk us through that process. And not as strong in the design part of the trail. And then the other consultant had, I mean, just an incredible design. Like, I can't even like put it into words, but just blew us away, but then lacked the other part of the ATP experience. So with that said, we thought, okay, well, you know, you don't always know somebody on paper. We wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt and put together a series of questions, interview questions for them to give them the opportunity to convey the experience that they had with the ATP process that wasn't coming across in the proposal. So we did that. We sat with them. And after that, so going into, we thought, we'll give them the opportunity, but we still think that more than likely it's going to lean towards this way. That wasn't the case after the meeting. And so we were extremely conflicted, and because, I mean, very, very conflicted, because we want to make the right decision, and we just don't feel confident after that meeting that we could make that recommendation. And so we decided that we were going to reach out to some of our resources, like with TCTC, and just get some feedback from them of where we were and people that have more experience in this area, and get, you know, what would they advise? What did they recommend? So we're at that now. And then we all said with the committee that we wanted to, or with the staff that was part of this last meeting, excuse me, that we wanted to take some time and think about it, because we weren't going to come to a decision in the room and we weren't going to come to it for this board meeting. So because of that, that's where we are right now.
We were in, you know, the two proposals. One was an engineering firm as the lead consultant, and their sub was a landscape architect, the one that did our master plan for the park. And then the other proposal was the landscape architect as the lead, using an engineering firm as their sub. And that's the difference in the proposals. One was based on pretties and design and concepts, related to what we conveyed as priorities in the RFQ from a design perspective. And then on the engineering proposal, it was, you know, truly, they definitely got the ability to be able to take, you know, to master the ATP part of it. Almost like if you could just pick one and combine the two,
yeah,
you know, it, but you can't, we've learned that doesn't work to mesh those kind of things up. Or, but we're realizing that the ATP component of it may not be as menacing and concerning. What's happening is that many entities that receive this ATP money all the time also spend STIP money. They spend what's called T money, Transportation Enhancement Act money. They have people on staff that do this stuff, you know, either engineers or staff in their public works department that do it, and they don't have their landscape architect do it or their engineering firm do it. And the trail has both. It has landscape architecture and it has engineering, right? And so we are looking at that option too. Can we be reimbursed for our administrative effort, and instead of that just going into, you know, offset our staff expenses, that be spent on just our engineering firm to do the reporting? How big of a piece is that? So we're getting a proposal from our engineering firm, you know, Alfonso Manrique, to see if they're just doing the reporting and they're doing the interface with the with Caltrans and speaking engineer speak with them on our behalf. What's that going to cost? Because the problem is with Caltrans is we cannot hire an engineer or any professional without going through a competitive process. Not a funding competitive process, but a qualifications process. We don't want to go through another RFQ just to do reporting and do the Caltrans process. So we'd have to pay for it out of our funds. So we, you know, if it's not much, then it doesn't really matter. We just need experience with that so that we can conduct the project and the outreach and get a good design and get the oversight of the consultant during that. Shell can pay the bills and you know, and they're accurate, and if we have an audit, everything's good, and we can meet Caltrans timelines. Those are the big things. So with these guys, you know, and Pat, I don't know if Pat is still on with us here because it's been a long time, but she was part of that review group and she saw the same thing we did, you know, in that the landscape architect fronted consultant just knocked it out of the park with their concepts and their understanding and their effort. They just were
enthusiasm, yeah. Everything, and then like a lot of their projects, the majority of their projects are in rural areas like ours, and they've really, really hit it with the amount of history that they portray. Like they know that they want they know what we want as far as like displaying the amount of history with that trail and everything. They did really, really good. Yeah. It's a tough one.
So
we obviously still haven't interviewed this one.
Yeah. And like, do we interview with the other one, company too? The other firm? I don't know. But if we come to a decision, we have a quarterly workshop on the 22nd of this month. So we could either bring it up then. If we have a decision, I'll hold a special meeting. We make a decision sooner than that.
So, you know, any suggestions or input or thoughts is welcomed. I know we got a comment from Pat, but if there's anything from the board, we're just taking it. Cherish this project. It's our baby, you know.
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
Patricia said, representing the business community, your due diligence to result in a spectacular project is very much appreciated. These efforts will be amazing in attracting visitors to spend time here in Groveland.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it's nice to have two that are both good and one I've written down to choose what decision are.
Yeah.
If one was fabulous and the other is like,
yeah, we really can't go wrong. I just looking at it, stepping back and look at it now, either one. It's just, I think that from a, we're not going to have to do as much internal research and checking and checking and checking and checking to make sure that the project design meets our vision. With the architect, landscape architect fronted team, yeah. Because, you know, what we're seeing with the park project is, you know, it was architect developed, but then it was engineer influence.
Yeah.
You know, when we had to cut costs, and it just, you know, it's a good project in the park, but it's, you know, some good concepts, but they never came forward the way that we envisioned them. So we had to do a lot of oversight, which, you know, can get risky. It puts us in a position of having to order stuff last minute when the contractor's already on the job, just because we're the ones picking them, you know, because they're, you know, we didn't want pink benches or you know, pink shade covers or, you know. So anyway, I'm talking in circles now. But it looks like we're not getting the way Sam.
Well, I'm just saying, not being involved in this, I'm just, you have two, you know, you have a landscape architect written there to design. It's a little weak on the back end. And then you have the engineering company design that presumably has got a pretty good grip on how to go about doing it, but now you're counting on whether or not the landscape sub is going to do as good a job or whatever.
Yeah. Excellent summary.
So just the, without knowing anything about it, just looking at those two things, I would be thinking that the engineering firm driven or primary would probably be less likely to go over budget. And that is a thing that is with us in the past on some of these things, mm-hmm. as with the park, where you know, it's, we do have to be able to pay for whatever, you know, and make the thing actually happen. So that's just, and that's just that, that's hardly a strong endorsement of one thing or the other, but I think it's something that's good to keep in mind.
But they do have a sub engineer, just to make sure that's also a component. They have the architect and then there's a sub engineer.
Well, I understand that.
Okay.
And they're probably fine. And presumably the engineering driven primary has got a competent landscape architect. But evidently their proposal wasn't as mind blowing as the other one. You know, you guys have been doing this. I don't know.
I think there's one of the things. Urban design based.
That's what I was trying to wrap around in my head to spit it out. Yeah, so like the other
the
one.
Engineer.
And so that's what we were saying. So we use them with our park project and everything that they delivered to us, even though Jennifer reiterated over and over and over that this is the theme that we want, that we want to say mountain, you know, natural. All that thing, except everything kept coming back to us very urban and nothing of what we were asking for. So we literally had to pick out our own furnishings and stuff because they just couldn't figure it out.
I think they were they just didn't have the quality control. They probably, you know, I'm not making excuses for them, but they didn't have the budget.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were at the top of the budget all the time. And so the primary guy gave it to somebody else without conveying to them, hey, this is a Yosemite theme, you know, that because they were the ones who came up with it. The WRT came up with, hey, you know, we're the free Yosemite destination. That's what this whole thing's about. But somehow they didn't get conveyed, or maybe it got conveyed, but they never looked at it and said, no, that's not going to work. I mean, it's this time. So
my thought is, it's for the one that is primarily architected, you know. Of course there's engineering because we have to have little bridges and all this kind of stuff built, but it's not like we're building a high rise that you want to take a unknown engineer and have it all fall down, you know, in a month. But what's going to be noticeable to everybody is going to be the artsy part of it, you know, the ACT part, you know. So I kind of, in the engineering stuff, as is sadly often the case, is underground, and so long as they actually do a good job, you know, I kind of almost think, I mean, I kind of see what Bob was saying, you know, the engineers might be a little more used to, you know, I just think the whole purpose of it is the presentation. So I would lean toward the person that was that, and then they have the sub as the engineer. But so, you know, so that made it easy to just know.
Which encapsulates probably the decision that we're
exactly. So
we did get checked references, and it seems like the, you know, budget always came up, and mm-hmm. it seems like they both did really well.
Yeah,
as far as, you know, estimating the right cost and then sticking with that with construction that you know the two matched up. Which is a good sign. No. But I think we just looking at the project and what we estimated for the second phase as far as cost. We probably, and not we, I mean, we gave it to our engineer to estimate the cost. It's probably about half what the true cost is going to be.
Oh, yeah. Almost certainly.
You know, that's why we're going to have a very creative firm, a team, to come up with solutions to get that cost under control. Because we're going to be required by Caltrans. If we accept that money and we move forward with the project, they're going to want to have that length of a trail with that many lights, with that many benches, and that many bike racks, period. That's just exactly, you know, because it was competitive, and that's what it was. They can't back off and say, oh, okay, you don't need bike racks. No lights, no problem, you know. So anyway, we would have to, you know, if it does come up double, then we're looking for a way to fund it. So anyway, we really appreciate the committee's effort. We had some really, you know, Pat and, what's her name?
Elizabeth,
yeah. Just really excited.
And she'll be a fun partner too in this because she's the owner of Echo Adventure over there by the Tesla station. And she has displayed a huge interest in this project ever since we started talking about it. Mm-hmm.
And if all else fails, you can just send them a point.
It looks like Ronnie might have a question.
I just am curious if deciding between an architecturally driven winner of the bid versus artistic, and I know that's a very simplified view of what's going on here, but is it possible to lean on the architectural skill set and then potentially have more community involvement in the artsy part of it? Like the chamber did such a great job involving the community and the trash cans, et cetera. And so if you run out of the money to really dive into the theme, which is so important, maybe later on it would be an opportunity for the community to become involved and create signage or additional things. I don't know. I'm just throwing
it's really,
stuff.
It's a really good point. I don't see the signage as the issue.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, and definitely that's going to be community driven. It's where it's, you know, it's things like the engineer and the architect, because the landscape architect is the visionary as far as the look, feel, you know,
mm-hmm.
placement of things, what they look like, how they flow. The engineer is the one who brings the reality to it. Can we do it that way? Can we build it that way? And how, you know, how's that going to affect the cost? So they work together in that way. If we tried to, we certainly couldn't assign any engineering functions or alignment functions to the public. And again, as far as where things go and how they look, that tends to be, it's not something we could ever get reimbursed for. And it's not something that if it goes wrong, you know, it makes it really, really tough, you know, because you could be looking at costs that were totally unanticipated. And you know, that's why, you know, the architect professional, you know, everything from material procurement to the type of lights you use to the, you know, the placement and the distances and alignments of things and site distance and slopes, and you know, there's just so many technical factors involved in it. I think, you know, again, we just you know, going with the landscape architect driven firm team, we would just have to make sure that engineering and architect were totally dialed in with each other.
And that makes total sense. Thanks, Pete.
And we'll definitely, you know, we'll see what kind of decisions we have to make. I think the main thing is going to be alignment and creek crossings. If we can reduce the number of creek crossings by a better alignment, that could affect the cost by a third. A good time.
I am happy to say that I fully
ready to support whatever staff decides.
Can we load the proposals on the RFP site? There's proposals received, and so that they want to take a look at it. We can just look, so you can go to the district website, go to the web page for RFPs.
I think that would be great. I think additional feedback, just other opinions, would be really, really helpful.
Yeah. More than two, in a meeting, yeah, don't talk to us more than two hours.
Yeah, it's more just for your information, you know, just so you can see what we're up against. I mean, the Melton Design Group stuff, you go to their website, you can see what they do. Yeah, you know, they've done some really cool stuff in Turkey and in Tahoe. So, we're excited.
Pat has a chat. Does she not want to speak? She can speak. She's in the chat somewhere.
I don't have anything new. Oh, it's just because I'm reading them up on my own computer. They're all the same ones that
representing the business community, your due diligence.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. Got it. Okay, yeah. Pat, you're off the hook.
We'll continue to look for you, Pat, working with us on this and
oh yeah,
helping us out. It's a good project.
Great. Moving on. Item G, adoption of a resolution authorizing the general manager to enter into a professional services agreement with Bryce Consulting for the completion of a total compensation and a benefit study.
Okay, so just a refresher, I put together a proposal and presented it to the board at their June 11th meeting, which was approved and issued. We delivered it we emailed it directly to a handful of who we thought would be appropriate and interested firms, as well as publishing it on CSDA's RFP clearing house. The deadline for submission of proposals was July 12th, and we received 5, which was a pretty decent response considering we haven't been doing too good on the proposals for other projects. So with that said, we developed an internal staff committee. It included Michelle, myself, and Rachel. We read the proposals, went through our process of the scoring, and then sat down and met and went over scoring and comments and so on and so forth. And through that process, we had unanimously agreed that Bryce Consulting was the best fit and the best choice for this. They followed the RFP very specifically, where a lot of the other, you could tell, which is very, very boilerplate, very long, not concise, not really very cookie cutter. You know, the district, while total comp and benefit studies are done all the time and very routine, there's different, you know, specific with the district that makes ours, like where you could tell with Bryce, they understood that they would get all the data, but then they know that there might need to be tweaks or things tailored that would meet the district specific needs. They had a really good experience in their staff. Their staff is very small. I have like 3 of them that have like 30 plus years of experience. And you could tell that you were going to get that focus. A lot of time when we deal with consultants, we'll get, you know, you get the principal and then you get the new kid it's been cumbersome. And so we didn't think that we'd have to deal with that. With this, in addition, they outlined exactly what the process would be, which I was really grateful for. And where many of the other proposals, you know, we'll sit down and we'll have a meeting with staff. And then from there, it was all just very generic. In addition, you know, we weren't looking at the cost for the proposal itself, of the cost for it, but they came in the second least expensive, which was just a mad benefit, I guess. So their proposal, it's between $16,340 and $17,100. And the budget we do have for this line item is $61,750. But as I noted in the submittal, this also includes we've been talking about doing an organizational analysis of the district to really see what, you know, minimum staffing we need. And, you know, just we've gone through so many changes over the last 15 years. So that includes funding for that. That's why that number is so big. But it is the same line item that these funds would come out of. So that's pretty much everything in the challenge, and maybe the board has questions.
Yes, I mean, the, you know, as a district, we always have to go with the lowest bid. That doesn't apply.
Not this, no, not for professional services.
I'll move to approve resolution 23-2024. The resolution of the Board of Directors of the Government Community Services District authorizing the General Manager to enter into a professional services agreement with Bryce Consulting for the completion of a total compensation and benefit study.
I second that.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other just any public comments?
I don't have anything.
I have a board of play, but anybody else have any comments here? All right.
Nope.
Take a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. And the motion passes.
Bye.
That's scared. Bye.
Okay, we will move on to item H, adoption of a reimbursement resolution related to acquisition of property for employee housing.
Okay, so this is in front of the board because we were talking about the acquisition process earlier and the loan, not everything lines up, you know, seamlessly because we didn't know we were going to be closing on a house until probably about last week. And then we had already been approved for the financing, but all of the, but originally we had two properties that we were considering and it was one. So it's just kind of gone all over the place, but we know that we're moving forward with the first property. So the finance documentation was not going to be ready by today's board meeting for the loan. And so this allows us to, instead of needing to hold a special meeting to bring the board back for the specific item, this resolution allows us essentially to reimburse ourselves. Like once the paperwork and everything is done, we don't have a need to come back to the board specifically. So we will for the financial documents, but we can go ahead and move forward with the loan and then reimburse ourselves in the eyes of the bank, if that makes sense, by having this resolution in place. With that said, this resolution, talking to Stefan with municipal finance, because it's kind of broken out now where we have the cost for the one property, but we don't have anything for the other, even though they approved us for essentially $1 million. They're going to work with bond counsel to see if they can structure one and then if, like, split the fees in half, because it's going to be the same kind of loan, there's not anything more that bond counsel needs to do once we move forward with the second. Correct. This is for $1 million, which means, and what it does is if we run into this into the future with another property, it's not going to stop the process. It'll be good for that one as well. So we won't have to worry about that. However, we don't expect to spend that much, and so they did say if the board wasn't comfortable with that, they could reduce that figure to whatever they wanted, but just to notate that they put that in there, because that's essentially what the total of the loan is approved up to. But we kind of, it was around 700, but that was also looking at another home and not necessarily vacant property like we've kind of thrown around. So this is more just a procedural thing, just to allow us not to have to hold a special meeting once this documentation goes through, and then we can move forward with purchasing and not worry about being reimbursed from the loan.
Perfect. Oh, it's very exciting, I think, to think we're
going
to actually do this.
I know.
Yeah. But, you know, we almost had detail. It was close. You know, having a compound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that we're still evaluating the concept of property with modular. Yeah, modular.
They make video. They make video games where you can design your whole neighborhood with
yeah,
modulars. Yeah, yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. It'd be perfect. And a couple tiny houses. A couple tiny houses for singles.
One house because a lot of extra. Yeah, there were some issues with it too. I think we found out why it was such a large lot. You know, setbacks, leach fields, other things. But yeah, it got snapped up right away. It's a problem. We're not nimble because we asked legal counsel if we could just get some flexibility from the board and, you know, to be able to find a property, offer a property, find a property, offer. It doesn't work that way. It's got to come back to the board, so we'd be scheduling special meetings all the time to just try to get authority to be able to offer on these things. So we're working around that. This is the closest thing we can get, so we're ready to go with funding, and you know, then we can just, if we happen to find something that's just right, schedule a special meeting and go with it.
In my little Pollyanna world that I live in quite often, and I get knocked off the quite often too, but I was like, it would be nice if we'd done this once or twice. If kind of that word just got out and somebody's like, okay, I'm going to put my house on the market, but you know, maybe I'll just call to the GCSB first and see if they're interested in it, because then I don't have to go through the whole listing, you know, all this, you know, whatever. And then wouldn't that just be cool? That would work out. And I live in Pollyanna, well, but they like me here, so it's fine. And I realize that would not happen, wouldn't happen if you just have one. But anyway, alrighty. So, do we have any comments from anybody online?
No.
Anybody else? Any more discussion here?
I move to adopt resolution number 24-2024 regarding the adoption of a reimbursement resolution related to the acquisition of property for employee housing.
I will second that vote. Not that motion, please.
Okay. No other further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. It's like we have that little lag when people being interviewed on TV and they, you know,
time
together.
Are we all done?
No,
we have to
have the next thing. Is,
does anybody need a break or anything or before you go into this? Or?
Oh, I do, please.
Okay, take 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, we are coming back in to open session at 12:37 after having taken a break. Okay. All right, and then now we're going to go into a closed session. The discussion is going to be about a conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. Agency representatives, general manager and administrative services manager, employee organization, operating engineers, local 3.
And then you want to ask about public comment.
Yes, do we have any comment from anybody, public, other, or otherwise? Where are the otherwise?
I have none.
None?
So,
nothing?
There's a chat. There's a chat open, a chat.
No, there's.
I don't have any.
So
it says one new message to everyone.
It's probably just an old one. I'm opening up the.
Okay, got you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we have no public comments. So at this point now, we will go into closed session at 12:38. So.
Okay.
Okay, we are back live and out of closed session at 2:28. It just clicked over. 2:28. We have no reportable action to take. If anybody have anything else they want to bring up, if not, we will adjourn.
Okay.
You will also adjourn at 2:28 since it did just click in.
And thank you.
Same on.